This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين يا رب العالمين. We continue our study of the dynasty of the people of Bani Umayyah, which lasted from the 41 year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the year 132. And in the last session, alhamdulillah, we finished the reign of Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, who is the fifth khalifa of the people of Bani Umayyah. And we left the state of Islam at one of the greatest and vast expansions in Islamic history. Muslim territory were spreading from Kashgir in China to, alaykum salam, to Narbonne in France. This is the state of Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik and the way it was great materialistic advancement, if you will, of the Muslim Ummah. It was great power. It was the superpower of the world at that time. And that was around the end of that reign and the beginning of the reign of Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, which is the 96th after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We start today's session with Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik was born in the year 60 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in some narration you will see he was born earlier than that, about the year 54 of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But most accounts say that he died at the age of 40. He died at the age of 40, so that date is probably closer to reality. And he was a Khalifa for only 3 years, between the year of 96 after the Hijrah, after the death of Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, to the year of 99. So he got the Khilafah when he was young. He was 37 years old when he became a Khalifa, and then he died as a Khalifa at the age of 40. And he reigned over one of the most vast expansions of this Muslim Ummah. The reviews that you will read in history about Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik is very mixed. You will see some reviews that will say that he is a wicked Khalifa, he was filled with vengeance, and his reign was about killing, demoting, and putting down many of the great conquests in Islam. And in another, you will see, if you read At-Tabari, the comment that At-Tabari, who was really the most reliable Muslim historian, the quote from the Tariqh At-Tabari said, كَانَ سُلَيْمَانُ مُفْتَاحَ الْخَيْرِ. He was the key to the good, to the goodness. أَذْهَبَ al-Hajjaj, he wiped out the Al-Hajjaj. Al-Hajjaj died during the Khilafah of Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik. But Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik rectified many of the errors, many of the injustices, many of the oppressions that Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi caused. So that's what At-Tabari is giving Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik credit for. He said, وَأَطْلَقَ الْأَسَارَى, and he released the prisoners. The prisoners of Al-Hajjaj were filled. Any opposition to Bani Umayyah will land you either with the sword or with the prison. And there was no other option. And what Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik did is he released many of the prisoners that were imprisoned, especially in Al-Iraq. And then, وَأَحْسَنَ إِلَى النَّاسِ, and he was good to people. وَاسْتَخْلَفَ عُمَرَ ibn Abd al-Aziz, and he said that he gave the Khilafah to Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, so there is nothing else other than that it would be good enough for Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. However, as I said, you will read a lot of mixed reviews about Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. One of the first thing that Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik did during his short reign is he really changed the influence of Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. There was preconceived animosity between Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, who was an ally to Al-Muhallab ibn Abi Safra and his children. Al-Muhallab was an enemy of Al-Hajjaj. So Sulaiman, when he came to the Khilafah, Al-Hajjaj was already dead, but many of the people that Al-Hajjaj put in place were in powerful positions. Qutaybah ibn Muslim al-Bahili was over Khurasan. Muhammad ibn Qasim al-Thaqafi was over Sindh and Punjab. So the whole eastern front was all under commanders that Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi appointed himself. Somebody open the door, please, for Brother Rafiquddin. It's locked. JazakAllah. So, but during his attempts to wipe the influence of al-Hajjaj, many of the great conquerors and this ummah fell victim to these corrections, to these rectification of that order. And the first victim was Muhammad ibn al-Qasim al-Thaqafi. Well, nobody would be closer to al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi than his cousin, Muhammad ibn al-Qasim al-Thaqafi. And that was one of the first people that fell victim to retaliation of Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. So Muhammad ibn Qasim al-Thaqafi was ordered to be imprisoned, and he died in prison under the reign of Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. Qutayba ibn Muslim had a different story, and I will just narrate that very quickly. But Qutayba was one of the people that agreed with Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, who was before Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, to remove the Khilafah from Sulaiman and to give it to his son. Al-Walid wanted to give his son Abdul Aziz ibn al-Walid the Khilafah instead of giving it to his brother. He wanted to keep the Khilafah in his reign. And one of the people that agreed with him was Qutaybah ibn Muslim al-Bahili and al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. So, but however, that did not happen, and Sulaiman did not forget that. And Qutaybah knew that Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik would be angry with him for two reasons: for being one of the Hajjaj commanders, and for agreeing to support al-Walid ibn al-Malik in giving the Khilafah to his son instead of his brother Sulaiman. So Qutaybah sent a messenger to Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik with three letters. The first letter giving Sulaiman his allegiance and telling him he will be just as faithful to him and just as loyal to him as he was to his brother and to his father, Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan. And the candidate to take the imara, to take the governorship of Khurasan from Qutayba, was Yazid ibn al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra. So Qutayba was very smart, and he told his messenger, if you see Sulaiman giving the letter to Yazid ibn al-Muhallab, then give him the second letter. Well, the second letter saying, the second letter said that if you, he told him what kind of achievement Qutaybah did in Khurasan, and he tells him that if you use Yazid instead of me over Khurasan, then I will rebel against you. I will rebel against Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. And he told his messenger, if you see Sulaiman giving that second letter to Yazid, then give him the third letter. The third letter was a declaration of rebellion against Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. So the messenger goes and he gives that first one to Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, and Sulaiman gives it to Yazid. So he's telling Yazid, listen, see what this man is doing. He has given me his pledge of allegiance. So that is a sign that he really wants to use Yazid. So the messenger gives Sulaiman the second letter, saying, if you use Yazid, I will rebel against you. So he takes that second letter, he reads it, and he keeps it to himself. So the messenger goes back to Qutayba, and Qutayba knows that the intention of Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik is to make him step down and to give the imara, to give the governorship to Yazid ibn al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra. And at that time, there was a rebellion against Qutayba ibn Muslim by a man called Waqi'. And Waqi', he was the chief of Bani Tamim, who settled in Khurasan at that time. And they were able to capture Qutaybah ibn Muslim al-Bahili, and they knew that there was a great support from the Khilafah against Qutaybah ibn Muslim al-Bahili, and they end up killing Qutaybah ibn Muslim. And Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik did not punish them for that act, and he actually made Yazid ibn al-Muhallab governor over Khurasan. And that's how two of the great conquerors of Islam ended in this wave of retaliation against al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. However, on the positive side, Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik freed many of the prisoners in Iraq, and he sent armies to continue the conquest, and he sent his brother Maslama ibn Abd al-Malik to seize Constantinople, the capital of the Byzantines. And at that time, Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik moved on to be closer to the army. He wanted to continue the conquest. And he moved to a small town near the city of Halab, of Aleppo, in northern Syria. And that city is, that small town is called Dabiq. And in Dabiq, he made a camp, a military camp. And he made an oath, he made a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will not go back to Dimashq unless one, two things happen. He either is dead, or Constantinople falls into the hands of the Muslims. He wanted to really, this was the last hurdle, if you will, the last empire that is left in front of the Muslims. Now their reign is from China to France, and he wanted to subdue the Byzantine and to have Constantinople. And in Dabiq he stayed, and indeed in Dabiq he died. And the armies of Maslama bin Abdul Malik were not able to conquer Constantinople at that time. One of the two things, positive things that Sulaiman ibn al-Malik had, he had good consultations. He had what is called bitanat al-khayr. He had people that are surrounding him that are good. There were two people that were influential in advising Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, especially in the short time at the end of his khilafah. And the two people are Raja' ibn Huywa and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. These two were close to him, and they were giving him advice. And the one that I want to just shed some light on is one of the tabi'een, is Raja' ibn Huywa radiallahu anhu. And he was very influential in changing the way Bani Umayyah do business when they transferred their khilafah. The next in line after Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik would have been one of his children or his brother Hisham. One of his children or his brother Hisham ibn Abdul Malik. But Raja' ibn Huywa had an influence to change that course. So who is Raja' ibn Huywa? Raja' ibn Huywa is a man who was born in Palestine, in the city of Baysan. May Allah return it to the Muslims. And he was born at the end of the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan. He was from the tribe of Kinda, which is a tribe in Najd, in the middle of the Arabian Peninsula. He was raised in Palestine, and as he raised in Palestine, he was under the government of Bani Umayyah the entire time. So his loyalty was to the people of Bani Umayyah. But he was a tabi'i, and he was a student of Abu Sa'id al-Khudari, Abu Darda, and Ubad ibn Samit. So he is a tabi'i because he took knowledge directly and straight from the Sahaba. Raja' ibn Huywa became very important in the court of Bani Umayyah, and he advised Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. And then he advised his son, Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik, and then he advised Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. But he was closer to Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik than any of the other Khalifa. And one time Raja' said that an event happened during his companionship with Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik that changed the way he advised the Khalifa. And he said one time, this is narrated by Raja' ibn Huywa himself, and he said, I was in a crowd of people and a man came directly to me and he said, Ya Raja', innaka qad ibtulita bihadha ar-rajul. Oh Raja', Allah is testing you with this man, with Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. Wa ashara ila al-Khalifa. Wa inna fil qurbi min ash-sharr al-kathir aw al-khayr al-kathir. He said, being close to the Khalifa, it's either a great deal of good or a great deal of evil. And he said, فَجْعَلْ قُرْبَكَ مِنْهُ خَيْرًا لَكَ وَلَهُ وَلِلنَّاسِ. Make your closeness to the Khalifa good for you, good for him, and good for the people. وَعْلَمْ يَا رَجَاءَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ مَنْزِلَةٌ مِنَ السُّلْطَانِ فَرَفَعَ إِلَيْهِ حَاجَةَ امْرِئٍ ضَعِيفٍ لا يستطيع رفعها لقي الله عز وجل يوم يلقاه وقد ثبت قدميه للحساب. He said, if you help a weak person achieve their need with the Khalifa because they cannot reach the Khalifa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will steadfasten your feet on the day of judgment when you meet him. واذكر يا رجاء أنه من كان في حاجة المسلم كان الله في حاجته. And those who work for the good and the affair of for the benefit of the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will promote their own good. And then he said, I turned to the Khalifa and I turned back to the man, and the man completely disappeared. And I wanted to talk to him and I could not. And he said, that event changed the way that I advised the Khalifa. So when Sulaiman was with him in Marj Dabiq, in this area where he camped fighting the Byzantine and supporting his brother Maslama ibn Abd al-Malik in fighting the Byzantine. And that was in the year of 99 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Raja ibn Haywa narrates and he said, Sulaiman ibn Malik woke up one Friday and he looked to himself in the mirror and he said, I am a youthful Khalifa. He was 40 years old and he had all that reign. And he said, "Ujiba bi nafsa." He had admired his own self. And he went to Al-Jum'ah and he came back and he was sick. And he gave his own self the evil eye and he had this pride and for his being good. And he, when he came back, he was very ill and very, very sick. And he said, he asked me to be with him during his sickness. And he said that he continued to be ill and then getting sicker and sicker every day. And then I found him writing a book, writing a letter, writing on a piece of paper. And I said, مَا تَصْنَعُ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ What are you doing, Amir al-Mu'mineen? Amir al-Mu'mineen was very sick at that time. He said, أَعْهَدُ إِلَى ابْنِ أَيُّوبِ He said, I'm giving the Khilafah to my son Ayyub, his son, the son of Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. And Raja said, يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّ مِمَّا يَحْفَظَ الْخَلِيفَةَ فِي قَبْرِهِ وَيُبَرِّئَ ذِمَّتَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ أَنْ يَسْتَخْلِفَ عَلَى النَّاسِ الرَّجُلَ الصَّالِحِ He said, something that will keep you safe in your grave and will make you innocent in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to give the khilafah to a good righteous man. وَابْنَكَ أَيُّوبُ غُلَامٌ And your son Ayyub is a young man, a kid. He's a youth. وَلَمْ يَتَبَيَّنْ لَكَ صَلَاحُهُ مِنْ طَلَاحِهِ You don't know if he's going to be good or not. He hasn't matured yet to show you what kind of character he will have. So, Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, he was on his deathbed. And when somebody is facing the moments of death, they become more truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a different situation. Raja ibn Haywa knew when to talk to Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. You could not talk to any of the Khulafa of Bani Umayyah to change the way they give the Khilafah to each other in any other state. So Raja ibn Haywa took advantage of that situation and he reminded Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik with the Akhirah, with the hereafter. He said, فَتَرَاجَعْ He was reluctant after what I told him. And he said, إِنَّهُ كِتَابٌ كَتَبْتُهُ وَأَنَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَسْتَخِيرَ اللَّهَ فِيهِ وَلَمْ أَعْزُمْ عَلَيْهِ He said, I've not made the final decision. I just wanted to choose and make the istikhara with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after 2 days he called me and he said, مَا رَأْيَكَ فِي وَلَدِي دَاوُودِ يَا أَبَا الْمُقْدَامِ He said, what do you think about my other son, Dawood? So he's still thinking about giving the khilafah to one of his children. And then he said, هُوَ غَائِبٌ Dawood was older. He said, هُوَ غَائِبٌ مَعَ جُيُوشِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي الْقَسْطَنْطِينِيَةِ He is fighting the Byzantine in Constantinople. وَلَا تَعْلَمْ أَيَعُودْ أَمْ لَا You don't know if he's going to come back or not. So you cannot really trust the affairs of the Muslims to somebody who you don't know who's going to... You don't even know if he's dead or alive right now. لا تدري أحيون أم ميت. He said, فماذا ترى يا رجاء? He said, what do you think, رجاء? And رجاء said, I wanted him to go with one after the other of Bani Umayyah until he reaches Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. Because that's who Raja ibn Haywa felt should be the man for the job, should be the man for the Khilafah. And he said, كَيْفَ تَرَى Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz? And he said, the Khalifa asked me, what do you think of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz? And Raja said, مَا عَلِمْتُهُ وَاللَّهِ إِلَّا فَاضِلًا كَامِلًا عَاقِلًا دَيِّنًا He said, he is perfect. He is a man of intellect. He's got intellect. He's intelligent. He's fadil. He's a man of honor. And he is a man of good manners, good behavior. And he is a man of religion. He is a man of good religion. And Sulaiman said, صدقت. You're saying the truth. وَلَكِنِّي إِنْ وَلَّيْتُ وَأَغْفَلْتُ أَوْلَادَ عَبْدِ الْمَلِكِ لَتَكُونَنَّ فِتْنَةً وَلَا يَتْرُكُونَهُ يَلِي عَلَيْهِمْ أَبَدًا He said, if I give him the Khilafah and leave out the children of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan, they will be fitna. They will never allow that. Now all the Khilafah after Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan were in the children of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan. Now it's going to go to the second phase. It's going to go to the children of Abdul Aziz ibn Marwan. So he said, you want me to take the Khilafah away from the children of Abdul Malik and send it away from their house? They will not allow that. So Raja said, أشرك واحدا منهم واجعله بعده. He said, allow, make it a succession. Umar first, and then one of the children of Abdul Malik after that. So that would be satisfactory for them to know that it's after Umar, it's going to come back to the house of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. And then Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik said, Asabt. This is a good opinion. So he wrote the book, the letter that he wanted to write, given the succession. And he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. هذا كتاب من عبد الله سليمان بن عبد الملك أمير المؤمنين إلى عمر بن عبد العزيز أني وليته الخلافة من بعدي وجعلتها من بعده ليزيد بن عبد الملك فاسمعوا له وأطيعوا ولا تختلفوا فيطمع الطامعون فيكم. He said, I give him the succession after me to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and then after him to Yazid ibn Abdul Malik. So listen to him, listen to Umar, obey him, and do not have conflicts, do not have problems amongst you, so people will take advantage of that and defeat you. And then he said, ادعو آل بيتي, call the people of Umayyah. So all the honorable and the elite people of Umayyah were gathered. And then he said, let it be known that this letter in the hands of Raja ibn Haywa is my wish. This is my will. And I have given the succession after me to the person whose name is mentioned in this will. And I want you to give your pledge of allegiance to the name in that sealed letter. It's like a sealed letter now. Nobody knows the name in there. And Sulaiman said, give your pledge to the person whose name is mentioned in there. So they started giving the pledge of allegiance to the person without knowing the name, without knowing whose that person is going to be. Well, the candidates were either one of his children, or Yazid, or Hisham. And nobody was thinking about Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. However, Raja ibn Haywa continues to tell the story, and he said, after people dispersed, after people, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz came to me. And he said, Ya Abul Niqdam, which is the nickname of Raja. He said, Inna Amir al-Mu'mineen rajulun hasanu dhanni bi, wa kana yulini min karimi birrih, wa safiya widadihi shay' al-kathir, wa ana akhsha an yakuna qad asnada ilayya min al-amri shay'an, fa'unshibuka Allah. وأسألك بحرمتي مودتي أن تعلمني إن كان في كتاب أمير المؤمنين شيء يخصني حتى أستعفيه قبل فوات الفرصة قبل أن يموت. عمر بن عبد العزيز came to رجاء بن حيوة and he said, أمير المؤمنين likes me and he thinks highly of me, حسن الظن بي, and he always was generous with me, and I'm afraid that he might have thought to give me the succession after him. And I want you to tell me, I ask you by Allah to tell me if my name is in that letter so I can go talk to him before he dies. So I can go and just, you know, excuse myself before Sulaiman dies. And Raja said, لا والله ما أنا بمخبرك حرفا. I will not tell you one letter. It's a trust. This is a trust from Amir al-Mu'mineen. How can I tell you? And then he said, I walked a few steps and Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik comes to me. And he said, Ya Abul Niqdam, Inna li indaka hurmatan wa mawaddatan qadima, fa'alimni bima kitabi amir al-mu'mineen, fa'in kana al-amru li sakat, wa'in kana li ghayri takallamt, falaysa mithli man yunaha an hadha al-amr. Hisham came and talked to Raja ibn Haywa. And he said, I want you to tell me, if my name is mentioned in there, because if it was, then I would not say anything else. He would accept it. That's what he wanted. And he said, but if it was for somebody else, then let me talk before Sulaiman dies. So we see the two different positions. And subhanAllah, this khilafah does not straighten out. The authority, the leadership among Muslims is not given to somebody who wants it. And when it's given to somebody whose interest in just having the authority, then it becomes spoiled. It is always the people that hate to be in authority do the best job. The best job when they are in authority, like the guided Khalifa, who are Abu Bakr, Umar, wa Uthman, wa Ali, and then the fifth one is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, radiallahu anhu. And then at the end, Raja' goes back to Sulaiman and he said, and I find him at his last, given breathing his last breath. And then I started to make him face the Qibla to say, La ilaha illallah. And he would say, not now, not now, until it was the very last moment. And he said, now Ya Raja', now Ya Raja'. And he faced the Qibla and he made the Shahada and he died. Rahimahullah. Raja' ibn Haywa was afraid that after what he saw from Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, that this tribulation that Sulaiman predicted might actually happen. There may be a big problem in giving the Khilafah to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So he covered Amir al-Mu'mineen and he told no one that he's dead. The wife of Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik wanted to check on her husband and Raja' said, he is resting. And she said, he's resting. He said, he's wasted now, like I've never seen him before. He is very, and you know, at the moment of death, people look very, very restful. So he closed the door and he gathered the people of Umayyah again. And he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen wants you to confirm your pledge. You have to give an oath to confirm your pledge to the person whose name in that letter. So they came back again and they gave their pledge again, not knowing that Khalifa was dead. And after all of them gave bay'ah, including Yazid and Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, now they have a bay'ah in their necks, and this is a very great responsibility. He said, "Inna sahibakum qad mat, wa inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Amir al-Mu'mineen is dead. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And I started reading the book. And when I mentioned the name Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Hisham said, "La nubayyuhu abadan." We will never give our vote to him. We will never give our pledge to him. Who is he? He's not a son of Abdul Malik. And Raja' ibn Haywa said, Wallahi adrubu unuqak. Wallahi, I will cut your head off if you say one more word. You already gave your pledge, and if you take it back, then you're a rebel. And I don't care who you are, your neck will be the price for your rebellion against Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And then he said, قُمْ فَبَايَعْ. You go up and you give your pledge. And he described, he said, فَقَانَ يَجُرُّ رُجْلَيْهِ. He was just dragging his feet until he came to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And then he said, he gave him the bay'ah. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was stunned. He was described in the books of history, لَقَدْ سُرَعْ. He was stunned by the weight of the responsibility that was given to him. And he would say nothing but, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Like a disaster happened. إِنَّا لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ is a matter of disaster. And he, you know, the Khilafah before him, all the Khulafa of Umayyah would be happy and glorious and all of that, except Umar. He said his shoulders were down and his features were down and he was sad and he would say, إِنَّا لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. إِنَّا لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And that is the role of Raja' ibn Haywa in giving the Khilafah to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. Now, we move on, inshallah, to talk about the seventh Khalifa in the dynasty of Bani Umayyah, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Sufyan al-Thawri, Imam al-Islam, Sufyan al-Thawri radiallahu anhu said, Al-Khulafa'u khamsa. He counts only five Khalifa. He said, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, wa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He said, these are the Khilafah, meaning the people, the word Khalifa means the successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the job of the Khalifa is to try to live up to the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the word Khalifa. This is what it means. It doesn't mean the one in power, authority, or the one who has the greatest wealth. It means the one who follows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sufyan al-Thawri narrates that only these five actually dedicated their reign of Khilafa to following the steps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, if you look at what Umar ibn Abdul Aziz did during his reign, and you compare that with the rest of the Khulafa of Umayyah, if you compare that with the Khilafa of Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik, we studied that and we saw how the Ummah expanded and how the Futuhat, the conquest, went into China, Khurasan, Sindh, Punjab, Spain, into France. And when you compare the conquest during Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, there is not much there. If you compare the wealth of the Ummah, it was wealthy, but it happened also during the reign of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan and Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik. And the reign of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was very short, 2 years and few months. So why does it have this great importance? And it didn't change the way things were done after Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. It was not a turning point for Bani Umayyah where things were done differently after Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, from before Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So why Umar ibn Abdul Aziz has this great position, great station in history? It's because he did what the Khalifa should do. It's because he took the legacy of the Khilafah and he showed the Muslim world is the Khalifa does not mean expanding authority. It doesn't mean adding territory. It doesn't mean increasing wealth. It means spreading Islam. It means taking the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and work with it and show the world what it means to be a Muslim. And it has been documented that the rate of people that converted into Islam during the very few years of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz were equal or greater than the people that converted into Islam during the entire dynasty of Bani Umayyah. Most people in Sindh in particular and the Punjab were mostly, they were left on their own religion as after Muhammad ibn Qasim al-Thaqafi left. But during the 2 years of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, most of those territories converted into Islam. And it is documented well in history that that happened because of the way that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was ruling the Muslims. From 99 after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to 101 after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was a young Khalifa. When he died, he was 40. Like Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. He was 40 years old. He was born in the 61st year after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is some controversy in history that it was 60 or 61. But he was a Khalifa at the age of 38. And then he died at the age of 40. This is the short Khilafah of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and the short life of this young Khalifa radiallahu anhu arda. So as we said, Sufyan al-Thawri, as narrated by Abu Dawood, he counted him as the fifth Khilaf, the fifth guided Khalifa, al-Khalifatul Rashid al-Khamis, after Abu Bakr, Umar, wa Uthman, wa Ali, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. But the great contribution of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is the revival of the Islamic Khilafah. It's to really go back with the Khilafah to what it means as far as being, to live up, being somebody who wants to live up to the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why was it important to revive the Khilafah? It is because Bani Umayyah, and we always try to mention all the good things and all the good aspects in these sessions, but it is clear that Bani Umayyah deviated from the path of the guided Khilafah, from the path of Abu Bakr, the path of Umar, Uthman, and Ali. And how so? How did they deviate from those concepts? It's number one, the dynasty concept. They introduced the concept that a father gives a khilafah to a son, whether the son was the best qualified Muslim to lead this ummah or not. And that is not a Islamic concept. The Islamic concept is you force the khilafah on the best of the ummah, as long as they are able to tolerate the responsibility of this khilafah. And when Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wanted to give the khilafah for somebody after him, he put his son in the shura council that he formed, but he said he cannot be the khalifa. He cannot. Umar Abdullah ibn Umar, who was one of the great scholars, he's a sahabi, he's a man with great qualification to lead the ummah. Umar ibn Khattab refused for him to be one of the people that lead this ummah into khilafah. And when Abu Bakr before him gave the khilafah, he didn't give it to his son, and he gave it to the man that he thought would be best to lead the ummah. And he said, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the great word, if Allah asked me, why did you do that? And I would say, I gave it to the best of them. the best of them was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an at that time. The second thing that the people of Umayyad did, the Khilafah of Bani Umayyad before him, is they revived the tribal and the national zealotry that was rampant before Islam. They would divide people into tribes and nations, and they would hit them with each other. One of the things that happened between the conflict of Al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra and Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi is they actually divided the tribes in Khurasan and all the Arab tribes that migrated into that area into fighting factions among each other. And the people of Umayyah would make sure that their power remains in place by keeping the fighting among these people, so their power would not be jeopardized. Their grip on power would be solid. And that is one of the things that the people of Umayyad did. The other thing is the national zealotry. Is when the people that were non-Arabs came to Islam, people of Umayyad looked down on them and they called them al-Mawali. And al-Mawali is a word, is a derogatory word. And it can be, it is called for the people that are actually slaves or free slaves, and people who are of a less status than the people of Umayyad. So that was one of the reasons that the people of Umayyad, the Umayyad people were not loved, were not liked in the hearts of many Muslims, especially those that were entering into Islam newly. The other thing, there were political and military alliances inside the government, like we said. People that are in competition for power inside that same government. And that is bound to weaken the government and weaken the power inside Islam. Then there was a fear of loss of power. And many wrong decisions was made because they were fearing that they would lose power. And some historians mentioned that when they called back Musa bin Nusayr and Tariq bin Ziyad from their great conquest in Spain, they were afraid that these leaders would have great expansions into Europe and they would be too powerful and they will actually threaten the grip of the people of Umayyah on power. So under all of these things, and then the other thing is oppressing the Shia of Ali radiallahu anhu. We know during the reign of the people of Umayyah until the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Ali radiallahu anhu had to be cursed on the minbar every Jum'ah. On every Friday khutbah, Ali radiallahu anhu had to be cursed on the minbar. And that was something that was stopped by Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. So you can imagine, if you are one of the people, and the Shia of Ali does not mean the current religious sect at that time. It means the political alliance to the house of Ali radiallahu anhu, and especially in Iraq. So you can imagine the hearts of these people in Iraq when they're hearing, when they're listening to these words on the minbar by the order of the Khalifa to curse Ali radiallahu anhu, and to oppress those who announced their allegiance to Ali radiallahu anhu or to the house of Ali, at the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With all these factors, there had to be a revival. There had to be a correction. And Islam needed Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu to put things straight on the path. The Khulafa of Bani Umayyah before that will delay the prayer from its time. And they will make some changes and innovation in the way and the Sharia was conducted, and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz came. And one of the hadith that is narrated in Al-Bayhaqi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah will send to this nation every 100 year a man to revive somebody, a leader to revive its religion. And Al-Imam, I would think it was Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal that said, we looked at the first 100 and we saw that it was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. And we looked at the second 100 and it was Al-Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu. So that's why it was a very important khilafah, a very important time, the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. The other thing that Bani Umayyah had disrupted the way of the Khilafah was done is they were distracted by wealth and power from the real message of the Khilafah and the way, the Asiatic way of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, his zuhud, his taqashuf, came back to show them that wealth and power
does not mean that somebody is a good khalifa. That being in hold of great wealth doesn't mean that this is the message of Islam. The message of Islam is completely different, and that was completely manifested during the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. I think we can stop now so we wouldn't interrupt the life of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and we would open the floor for some comments or questions. I think we have about 5 minutes. If not, we can close for Salat al-Isha. And starting the next session, inshallah, we will start the biography, the life of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, after what we reviewed, how needed the Khilafah and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send him as a blessing to this ummah. And inshallah, next session we will speak of his upbringing, his birth, his knowledge, and then how his reign as Amir of Al-Madinah into his Khilafah, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Fawziya. Cousin. And if he was a son-in-law, I don't know, it could be both. Yeah, it could be both, Allahu alam. I mean, he's definitely from Thaqif, from the tribe of Thaqif. He's Muhammad ibn Qasim al-Thaqafi. Now whether he's son-in-law or not, it could be, very well can be. Why not? Yeah. Yeah. Because of the conflict between Muawiyah and Ali, it carried on. And they would curse Ali radiallahu anhu on the manabir until Umar ibn Abdul Aziz came to power and immediately stopped that. But yes, it was one of the disadvantages, the bad things that the people of Umayyah did. And the dynasty of Umayyah did not last long for many reasons that we narrated and counted. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhana rabbika. Yes. Right. Jazakallah khair. It's an important comment. I left actually some of the events that happened right after he accepted the Khilafah till we come back to that when we do his life story, when he refused to go on the mawkib, on the caravan of the Khalifa, and he did a lot of good things. But one of the important things why he was counted as a Khalifa, we spoke how Imam al-Suyuti said there is Khulafa and there are kings among the Khalifa. Al-Khulafa wal-Muluk. Al-Muluk, they are the ones that actually accepted Khilafah through inheritance, through dynasty. They were given the Khilafah just because they're Hisham ibn Abdul Malik. That was his qualification to become a Khalifa. But the others, the Khulafa, are the ones that are given Khilafah by Shura and by the entire Ummah of the Islam. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, after he was declared the Khalifa through the letter, he got on the minbar and he said, "You get your bay'ah back. And I'm not a Khalifa unless you," and then the Muslims gave him the bay'ah again unanimously and confirmed that he's a Khalifa by Shura and not by inheritance. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.